I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity, so we saved you some time to get right to the good stuff. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. Short-term rental companies like Airbnb and VRBO have been around for a while now, but they've caused an extra dose of drama recently. Last week, an article from Business Insider went viral. It told the story of a Connecticut couple who bought a Vermont vacation home. They turned their profits into a 15-house Airbnb business that nets them about $100,000 a month. A former Bernie Sanders staffer tweeted about the article. She called out the couple for contributing to Vermont's housing shortage. That tweet has now been liked more than 175,000 times. So today on the show, we're diving into the realities of the short-term rental market. Later in the hour, we'll be joined by the head of the Lamoille Housing Partnership, which is focused on affordable housing in Lamoille County and Hardwick. We'll also speak with an Airbnb host and the head of the Vermont Short-Term Rental Alliance. But first, we have Jack Lyons with us. He's a VT Digger reporter who's been covering short-term rentals in Burlington. And it's good timing for the show because we just got some big news out of Burlington's City Council earlier this week, all about short-term rentals. Jack, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michaela. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Jack, let's start with this big news out of Burlington. To recap briefly, on Monday evening, the Burlington City Council approved some major new restrictions on short-term rentals. What are they?
So just to clarify, these restrictions are kind of a change from the status quo. There are sort of restrictions on short-term rentals right now in the sense that for a long time, the city's zoning has classified bed and breakfast as a certain use that people can switch their house into a bed and breakfast. And, it's what the bed and breakfast were originally intended to be, Airbnbs and other short-term rentals were originally intended to be. You have someone staying over at your house. So there's a requirement for owner occupancy. You know, you live there and someone shares a room in your house for a limited period of time. But obviously the industry has changed a lot since that zoning guidance was written. So now they have, after a 2.5 year effort, these new set of rules that specifically refer to the industry that, you know, deals with people going to Airbnb or Vrbo.com and looking at houses or apartments on there and renting them out as they would a hotel.
And one of the big differences it seems like you're getting at here is like with a B&B or something classified as a B&B, often the owner lives there. But a lot of Airbnbs and VRBOs and things are owned by people who don't live in that house and might not even live in the state, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it completely depends. A lot of the times people, especially with the pandemic, people are looking for, you know, they want to be by themselves. They don't necessarily want to live for a couple nights with a stranger that they've never met before. So they're looking to just take over a house for a weekend or something rather than live with someone else. But under the new restrictions that Burlington passed, that's not going to be possible in every situation.
So what are some of these restrictions? Because I think I read in one of the articles that you wrote that the new ordinances could disqualify up to 80% of existing short-term rentals in Burlington. That seems like a lot.
Yeah. So that would, I mean, that would be the absolute max number. What the restrictions did is set as a baseline, you need to have, in order to operate a short-term rental, it needs to be in your primary residence. Mm-hmm. Now there are exceptions to that, but that's kind of the baseline is unless you're operating out of your own home where you live, it's not going to be acceptable under the city's guidance now, rules. Mm-hmm. Now there are a number of exceptions. One is that say you live in a duplex or a building that has multiple units. One of those other units can count as essentially your primary residence. Also, if you have another unit like an in-law suite on your property, that can count as another unit. The other kind of corollary of this is that if you're going away, say I go to, you know, Bermuda for a month in the winter every year, I can use my house in Burlington as an entire Airbnb where I don't have to be there, but I can still have someone rent over the entire house during that time, and that would be allowed. Also seasonal units. So if you have a house that say doesn't have heating because it's just a camp on you know, Burlington Bay or something, then that is also allowed to be rented as a whole unit. You don't have to live there as your primary residence. Mm.
And overall, what are these new rules supposed to encourage? Like what are they really getting at here?
Yeah, they want to not take away housing stock in the city. You know, the city has seen rents skyrocket over the past couple of years with the pandemic. Burlington's become a very desirable place. Affordable housing was always an issue in Burlington, but it became even more so after 2020. And the idea is, you know, city councilors will tell you we want tourists coming to Burlington and being able to stay in a place that fits their needs. But we also don't want the people who make this a desirable place to visit, you know, the bartenders who are serving you a drink, the waiter who's bringing you your food, they need to be able to live somewhere and afford rent. So what they're trying to do is not make it so that, you know, these houses are entirely for visitors to town, but that people who need to live here to keep the workforce going have a place to stay.
Mm. Now, these new regulations come after, as you've hinted at, like years and years, really, of back and forth on the city council. Can you talk to us a bit about their development? Like how much contention has there been?
You know, there's been quite a bit. And I know that later in the show, you're going to talk to a short-term rental owner and to the head of the Vermont Short-Term Rental Alliance. And they can tell you a lot about some of the advocacy that has gone on from their side. I will say there's been a number of proposals that get at this idea of we don't want people speculating, right? We don't want people to come in, buy up a ton of real estate that could go to people who are going to be living here permanently and instead, you know, go to people who are coming in just for the weekend and maybe sit empty during the week. So that's always been the goal, is to avoid speculation on these properties, people just profiting, kind of like that couple in the Business Insider article, people profiting off of visitors coming to town rather than people having a permanent foothold here in Burlington. But what they eventually settled on, and I wanted to talk about this because I didn't mention it earlier, is there is still a way to operate a short-term rental not in your primary residence. And it's because you're incentivizing the development of affordable housing. So say I own a building that has two units somewhere in the city and I don't live there. If one of those units is a long-term rental that meets where that houses someone who meets the city's inclusionary zoning standard, which is a certain, you know, how much you bring in income. If it's a certain sort of low income standard, then you can have the other unit in that building be a short term rental. That also applies if someone is on federal or state housing assistance, so like a Section 8 housing voucher. So it is possible still to have a non-primary residence as a short-term rental. But again, the city wanted to make sure that there is money going into affordable housing or affordable housing being offered in order for this to happen.
Okay, so you potentially would be giving up a bit of profit in order to provide affordable housing in one apartment, and then in the second apartment, you can maybe make up a bit of that quote-unquote lost revenue by doing an Airbnb or something like that.
Yeah, basically, we want there to be short-term rentals in the city, but for every short-term rental that there is where someone's not living there as their own home, we want to offset that with an affordable housing unit.
Mm, okay. Now these regulations are, they're not officially on the books yet, right? They still need a signature from the mayor?
Yes. You know, the mayor signs all resolutions that the city council passes. And also, in addition to that, this resolution was earmarked to go to the planning commission, who is going to review it. Because there is actually a zoning change that needs to go on to allow for short-term rentals are now a defined use in the city zoning law. So that's got to happen too.
I want to take a moment here to read a couple messages we received ahead of this show. First, we have a listener in Burlington who emailed us and said, there are many owner-occupied short-term rentals on the market. These people provide safe, low-cost housing to single people, nurses, college students, and business travelers. But most importantly, they provide income for local Vermonters trying to stay in their homes and afford living here. We need to distinguish owner-occupied housing on Airbnb from other landlords. And Jack, track, it seems like these new ordinances are trying to make that to create that line in the sand. And then one other message we received on Instagram from Christine. They write, I know people who have lived in homes for years only to be displaced because the owner switched their unit to short-term vacation rentals. It's very disheartening as a renter to see so few quality, affordable long-term rental options, and then to look on Airbnb and see tons of vacation rentals. The properties are out there, but not for the people who actually live and work here. Christine is referring to the city of Burlington where they're writing from. Jack, I'm wondering if you can respond to her comment. Have you been hearing that sentiment a lot when you've been reporting on these issues?
I mean, people are definitely feeling the pressure of rising rents, and just especially if you're looking to buy a home in Burlington, there are so few at this point that it's really putting a lot of pressure on people. I would say that as part of this ordinance, there is kind of a just cause provision. So if I'm a landlord who is going to kick out a long-term tenant to put in a short-term rental, according to this ordinance, I would need to pay for the relocation costs of that tenant. I can't just kick them out and leave them without relocation stipend, basically. Mm.
And Jack, what other towns or cities in the state have enacted similar ordinances that limit short-term rentals or levy higher taxes on them? Are there others that you're aware of?
You know, I know that Woodstock has looked into this issue as well, and that statewide some legislators have talked about it. But, you know, I will say one thing that makes this issue particularly suited for Burlington is, again, as I mentioned, it's dealt with affordable housing problems for a while. So that is why maybe it's a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of, dealing with this on a local level instead of a state level. Another thing I'll mention is that the ordinance that passed in that the city council passed on Monday includes a rental registry. And that is something that Governor Scott has not been a huge fan of at the state level when legislation has been brought up to that effect. So, if this were to be instituted on a statewide effect, on a state effect and get his signature, it would probably need to look a little bit different. So I think that's why the city councilors and other people on the local level in Burlington wanted to make sure that they did this at an ordinance level instead of advocating for it, it being assigned into state law.
Now, Jack, we're doing this show on the heels of this viral news story that it seemed like everyone for a couple days was talking about in Vermont and outside of Vermont. I got it emailed to me by about a half dozen people. What was your reaction when you saw that article and the enormous amount of response that it garnered on social media?
Yeah, I think housing's a basic issue that everyone has a stake in, right? If you can't find a place to stay, it's like really alarming. You don't know what you're going to do. It puts you in a really uncertain position. So any sort of issue around housing and looking at Burlington and Vermont's housing crisis right now, I think it's going to garner a big reaction. But I would say, one thing is that in Burlington, short-term rentals account for 1% of the housing market. And that's a figure that city councilors have been discussing in two different ways. Some say 1% would make a huge deal when we're dealing with a less than 1% vacancy rate right now for long-term rentals. Some are saying, well, it's only 1%. It's really not going to move the needle. We need to look at other things that are going to help create more housing in the city. Obviously, this short-term rental ordinance is not going to knock out that entire 1% of housing. It might make it harder to bring that rate up higher than 1%. But I think there's pretty universal agreement that the housing issue is bigger than short-term rentals. And even though it might be something that a lot of people are passionate about or creates a lot of controversy, it's going to take more than this to make sure that rents are people have a place to stay in Burlington.
Let's go now to Kent in Burlington. Kent, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm wondering, can you hear me?
Yes, can. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Good. I appreciate what your guest just said, that the impact of this new ruling and what it will do in Burlington as far as making more affordable housing available. I think what Burlington has failed to do is that we have approximately 250 short-term rentals in Burlington. Of those, can we say definitively there's a mega landlord doing this $100,000 a month business? I don't believe that's the case in Burlington. We have numerous people in Burlington that are renting basically to keep their homes. For instance, I have a duplex. I have become a bed and breakfast because I looked at every avenue, and that was what the city of Burlington told me to do. But, you know, at the same time, I had a 20% increase in my taxes. So, of course, I needed the additional income because I'm semi-retired. Mm. And the other thing is, Burlington will stop 80% of these short-term rentals. And in that housing inventory, how many of those short-term rentals fall into any kind of affordable housing? I, for one, if I had to stop and wanted to go long-term, I would certainly be at market value.
Well, thanks for your call, Ken. I'm going to jump in here so that we can give Jack a chance to respond. Jack, to Ken's last point, do you have a sense of how many short-term rentals in Burlington fall under affordable housing standards?
Well, I guess that would be up to the person who owns the property's discretion. Julie Marks, who you're going to have later on the show, has done some polling of her group, the Short-Term Rental Alliance in the state. And many respondents said that if there were a complete ban on short-term rentals, they wouldn't move their short-term rental back into a long-term rental. So there certainly are people out there who are saying, I don't want to deal with a long-term tenant. It's easier just to deal with people coming in for the weekend. He also mentioned something about how many of the short-term rentals in Burlington belong to some mega landlord.
Yes, have you found a mega landlord? I'm very curious.
I haven't, but you know, that's part of the reason why the city wants to create this rental registry and pass this ordinance is because it's going to create more knowledge on the ground of what each short-term rental looks like, how many bedrooms it has, where it is in the city. It's going to allow them to, you know, conduct basic health inspections and stuff like that that are expected of other rental units in the city. Right now, that's a little bit opaque for the city, and they're getting a lot of their data from companies that are hired to provide this data. They do a lot of research, and of course, they're getting some tax money, about 2%, the normal rooms and meals tax, directly from companies like Airbnb and Vrbo. They're not getting it from individual owners of these short-term rentals. So this is going to, in the minds of the city, clear up the picture of what exactly things look like on the ground.
And then briefly, Jack, we're going to have to let you go in just a second and take a break. But first, we got a question from someone named Alex who asks, what is the definition of short-term rental versus long-term rental? Can you answer that for us real quick?
Yeah, it's you need to be there for less than 30 days, but you also need to be renting for more than 14 days a year, I believe. I can check the ordinance, but...
All right. And when we come back, we are going to dive more into this topic of short-term rentals. Jack Lyons is a reporter at Vermont VT Digger covering Burlington's short-term rental market. Jack, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a couple more great guests with us, but first I want to go back to the phone lines and bring in some more voices. Let's go first to Kevin in Bethel. Kevin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Nikhil. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
All right, great. So one thing I wanted to mention, which I hadn't heard your show bring up yet, is that there are a number of disincentives for landlords to rent long-term in Vermont, which, coming from out of the state, were surprising to me when I first arrived. There are a number of restrictions and covenants that you have to be very careful to stay within, or else you're going to fall afoul of Vermont rental law, which is heavily weighted on the side of the renter. What this looks like from my wife and my perspective is we took over a property that had an existing renter on it, and we watched the seller go through the process of handing the property over to us, during which they had to pay the tenant about $15,000 to have them move out in order for the property to be turned over to us. And this it doesn't actually say in Vermont law what you can do or can. I mean, how about I organize my thoughts slightly? The restrictions that they put on the seller were, from my perspective, kind of terrifying. And as soon as my wife and I took over the building, we started to realize the same sorts of covenants applied to us. You had to be incredibly cautious about who you allowed into your building, because there are some things in Vermont, like the ability to claim tenancy without having a lease and without having paid anything, which make the landlord's position incredibly difficult. The seller of this property actually tried to claim he was a tenant after we took over the property, and we are about 4 months into a lengthy court case where we have to prove that he's not a tenant.
Wow. Well, Kevin, thanks for that call. I'm guessing you have lots more stories to share, but I just want to make sure that we get to some other callers. And let's hop over to Brattleboro now with Jim. Jim, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So I'm a real estate agent down in the Brattleboro area where our vacancy rate is actually, I think, less than 0.5%.
Wow.
Rentals are incredibly scarce, like across the entire
All right, Jim, we'll try to get you back on the line, but I'll take this moment to introduce our next guest. We're joined now by Julie Marks, the founder and director of the Vermont Short-Term Rental Alliance. Julie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michaela. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're also joined today by Jim Levinsky, the executive director at the Lamoille Housing Partnership. The partnership works with partners to develop affordable housing in Lamoille County and Hardwick. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Hey, wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Now, Julie, let's start with you. Could you tell us a bit about what the Vermont Short-Term Rental Alliance is and who the members are?
Absolutely. So the Vermont Short-Term Rental Alliance is a statewide, volunteer-run, nonprofit, nonpartisan business association for the vacation rental community of Vermont. Our members are those who either own a short-term rental in Vermont or manage a short-term rental for in Vermont. And, you know, we have been around for just about a year and a half now, because prior to that, this community didn't have any representation to have these types of conversations. So it's really exciting to be here, and listeners can learn more about our work and our membership on our website, which is vtstra.org.
Now, Julie, as I spoke about with our previous guest, Jack, we're putting together this show kind of in the wake of this big conversation that was happening online in the last week or so, that was spurred by an article about a couple that owns or manages around 15 properties that they rent out on Airbnb, and they make a lot of money doing it. And that's garnered a lot of hate and frustration from folks who are struggling to find affordable housing here in the state, long-term rentals or buying houses. Can you speak to that frustration as a renter, as somebody who rents a property yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. That article definitely had a sensational headline. And, you know, I think when you dig into it, you know, you'll see that couple, they are in the business of property management more than ownership. But in general, it's important to know that the majority of people in Vermont, over 80% of short-term rentals are operated by somebody who owns one or two. And specifically, on the Airbnb platform, it's 93% of Airbnb hosts that only have two short-term rentals or less. So it's really not, the distribution of ownership is really wide. And one of the other narratives that doesn't get a lot of attention is really how Vermonters are using short-term rentals to make housing affordable. For themselves as a homeowner and often as housing providers. I am a housing provider in Burlington, and I use one short-term rental to help me offset the rising cost of providing housing in my five other long-term units. And that story we heard a lot during the Burlington Ordinance public hearings, but it doesn't get talked a lot about in the media. And I think it's an important reality that folks need to know that it's not only frustrating and expensive to find rental housing, it's really expensive to offer it as well.
Now, Jim, we've talked a lot on this show about the scene in Burlington and Chittenden County. You're in Lamoille County. Could you talk to us a bit about the affordable housing landscape there and the role that, that you see short-term rentals playing?
I can, and it's I would say it's quite different than the Burlington area from what I'm hearing so far. And I have to agree with Julie. I think that rental is a business, and people have to run it as a business, and it is expensive, and you have to do it in a way that you can operate successfully, whether you're a for-profit landlord or a nonprofit affordable housing organization like ours. Mm. I did some research on a site called AirDNA that talks about vacation rentals and tracks vacation rentals around. And one of the things I noticed in our county is there's a big difference between towns and how they deal with vacation rentals and the amount of vacation rentals. Mm-hmm. As an example, you know, Hardwick has 10 listed, Johnson 22, Morristown 130, and when you look at Stowe, it jumps up to 863 active listings.
Wow, big difference there.
Yeah, which is exactly why they're having some issues in Stowe and trying to figure out, you know, what they're going to do to deal with the problem they're having around having enough affordable housing so that people who work in town can actually live in town.
Mm. Yes, and I know that proximity to the place that you work is a big issue in a lot of towns around the state. Briefly, though, I want to go back to Jim in Brattleboro, who called in earlier. He's a real estate agent in Brattleboro. We lost you earlier, Jim, but you're on the air again now.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so to pick up where I left off, what I'm seeing with the with a lot of people, there's an influx of people coming into the area to buy second homes that they really have no intention of owning or being at, because now they have the ability very inexpensively to be able to turn that into a business. And it's eroding the ability of the locals because it's taking what would have been lower tier, you know, first time home buyers type of properties. They're being fixed up, glammed up, rented at a premium for a short term that nobody can afford. And it's causing, I mean, there's an entire logjam for properties in this area that really is stymied the entire market. And it's having repercussions up and down.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Jim. And Julie, with the Vermont Short-Term Rental Alliance, I am curious to hear your response to that.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's certainly an unsettling experience to be witnessing, in front of your face. But I think it's also important to remember that we need to consider the types of housing that is being used for vacation rental. It's often not what we would consider the missing middle, the affordable workforce housing. It's often either a large kind of luxury estate, multi-million dollar estate, or it's a cabin in the woods or a tiny house. It really depends on the type of housing that's being used for vacation rentals. I would say too that if we can step back and look at a long picture of our investment in housing in Vermont, a housing structure could remain in use for hundreds of years, and its use as a short-term rental might be fleeting in its lifetime. So if people are coming into our state, buying properties, fixing them up for a short-term rental, what we don't know is how long they're operating that for. And that's some information that we as an alliance are very interested in starting to collect.
Jim, Julie just brought up this concept of the missing middle. Is housing for people at middle incomes a major problem in Lamoille County?
It is. I believe it is all over the state. And it's a problem in every level, from folks who are homeless and have been living in hotels and motels that we're trying to find permanent homes for, workforce housing, and people trying to, who would traditionally start off in a rental perhaps, and then move into home ownership, or having difficulty finding homes they can afford. And I'd also like to address the caller as well. I've heard both sides, kind of two sides to this. When we get calls quite often from folks kind of in a panic, oftentimes they've been living in a home, renting a home for 9 or 10 or even 20 years. And in the past couple of years, as things have changed in the real estate market, they're finding that the home they've been living in was sold, and the new owner has said, we're going to live here now, so you have to leave, or we're going to do a short-term rental, so you have to leave. In either case, that's what happens, and people are being displaced by the change in ownerships.
Mm. Jim, I have to ask, are you renting your backyard to a rooster right now? I think I'm hearing one.
Sorry. They are outside. There's not much I can do about
No, it's not interrupting the conversation. I had to know. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got a bunch of calls, and thanks for everyone who's waiting patiently on the line. First, let's go to Nikolai in Burlington. Nikolai, you're on the air.
Howdy. Thanks for doing this.
Sure.
One of my comments is specifically about Burlington. I'm a contractor in the area. I also rent inside the town.
Mm-hmm.
I understand a lot of my peers believe that Burlington is turning into somewhat of a slum, and I have to agree with that, given a lot of the buildings I look at as I walk around. Where that comes in with me being a contractor, a lot of people I work for are trying to improve their buildings, and I've worked for, you know, Joe Schmo, who owns two apartments. And I've also worked for really big property developers in the area. And one of the biggest thing that comes to mind is getting things approved so that the buildings can be improved, just going through the bureaucracy of specifically Burlington's paperwork. I understand right now that the town of Burlington is attempting to rehire a new electrical inspector. And I know most of the electricians within the area refuse to work in Burlington. You can have an electrical license that will work in Boston or New York City, but the rules are so outrageous in Burlington that you need to take a specific class. And they cannot hire someone to replace the current electrical inspector because of these rules.
Mm.
And I really just think that the biggest issues that are faced in Burlington specifically is the bureaucracy to accomplish things. I know a lot of these bigger real estate folks do payoffs. There's like millions of dollars paid off directly to the state that no one hears about, but these smaller people who are trying to do the right thing, keep properties up, it's nearly impossible because of all the bureaucracy that's in front of them.
Mm.
So that's,
Thanks for sharing that perspective, Nikolai. And Julie, would love to hear your thoughts on this, the idea that, you know, property owners aren't keeping things up, and part of the reason is that there are so many regulations that make it tough to do that. Does that affect the short-term rental market as well?
Nikolai, you're singing my song. I have experienced this dilemma firsthand in Burlington. I do have lighting fixtures that no one will fix for me in Burlington because they don't want to go through the city's process. I've also been told by contractors that when I want to replace a certain window because it's lost its energy efficiency and I'm trying to keep the energy efficiency of my buildings high, that I can't replace the same window that's in there. Burlington will require me to put in a different type of wooden clad window that doesn't last as long, but is three times as expensive, and they won't do it. And so there are a lot of there are a lot of reasons. There are a lot of pressures being put on housing providers, particularly in Burlington, that again contribute to the unaffordability of providing housing, which always, of course, gets trickled down to the tenants to try to make that business model work. Where we see short-term rentals coming in is people are reaching to them out of necessity, because it is, while it is much more work to operate a short-term rental than it is to manage a long-term rental, the return makes it actually worthwhile. And we've heard from countless housing providers in Burlington who say that their one short-term rental helps them keep up with the maintenance on multiple other long-term rentals that they offer and keep the rents lower so that they're not having to put that burden on the tenant. They're putting it on the visitor, the short-term rental patron who's able to pay more.
I want to read a couple listener emails before we dive back into our conversation. First, Caitlin in Westminster West emails and says, I am a 10-year Airbnb host. We have one guest room that we rent out. We need the income, and our guests enrich our lives. My beef is with those who rent out standalone winterized dwellings. Those could be long-term rentals. Who owns these places? The owners, whoever they are, don't live here, don't send kids to school, or join local organizations. I love Airbnb, but it's often being gamed for big profits by investors. And then Katie in Leicester emails, my husband and I are Airbnb hosts. This has been my primary income for almost 7 years, and we're year-round Vermont residents. Something that often gets overlooked in this conversation is that we couldn't afford to live in Vermont with this income. Our guests buy gas and food and dine in our small town, and there's no denying that Airbnb benefits our local economy. Now, Jim Levinsky with the Lamoille Housing Partnership, we were talking about city regulations and how they sometimes keep landlords from being able to update properties. I'm wondering if that's an issue for you in Lamoille County.
Well, as developers, we're always faced with all the regulations, permitting process, and everything else that goes along with developing properties. It takes a long time to navigate all that. So what it does is it means it takes us a long time to get new properties, new units online, new rental units, sometimes 2 to 3 years from conception to occupancy. So that's really a long time. There are sometimes alternatives. Recently, we were able to work with a local private developer in Stowe who had a project underway. Under construction, and we were able to bring 9 new units into full occupancy within about 9 months, which was extraordinary. And I should say that 2 of those units were slated to be short-term rentals. So instead, we have 9 affordable long-term rentals. And some of those units were slated for people coming out of homelessness as well. So those are the kind of things we try and do to address the issues.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll start with Mark in Burlington. Mark, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I think one problem when we look over the numbers of people who are considered homeless, people looking for housing, is that we actually have an underground economy in the rental market. And I think it's not being talked about just because it is underground. So what I think the folks who look through the stats, housing advocates, cities, especially in Burlington, need to do is to really document who is living. I mean, apparently there was one number thrown around. It's all anecdotal, but it is alarming that there may be as many, during the summer, as many as 1,900 people in Burlington, living unofficially, whether it's in couches, backyards, or driveways. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a homeowner. I'm not in a situation to rent. I go to farmers markets, and this is where it's relevant. I get asked 6 or 7 times at every farmers market as a vendor if I have a place to rent, and out of that, 2 or 3 times, usually young parents, young mom, kids, living out of cars, asking if they can park their car in my driveway, and they would pay me. So it's something we should bring up, because I know for a fact that there are people unofficially collecting rents from people who are camped out on their properties.
Yeah, that's an interesting element of this conversation that we haven't gotten to. First, Jim, I'd love to hear from you. Do you think that that is an issue in Lamoille County, or is that something that feels a bit more Burlington specific to you?
I'm thinking that may be a little Burlington specific, but I can tell you some numbers that I think might be a little shocking when it comes to people looking for housing and what's happened over the past couple of years.
Please.
What we look at is how many active applications we're trying to process compared to the openings that we have. Pre-pandemic, we would usually have around 200 active applicants that we'd be trying to fit into units that come open. And we might have a couple of dozen units come open. So for instance, in a given month, we'd have a couple of dozen turnovers where people might leave, find another apartment. They might, whatever reason, they're moving on. And we'd be able to offer those to the folks that are on our active wait list. As of the end of May of this year, we had 531 active applicants and only 7 vacancies.
Wow.
So that's a big change in numbers.
Wow. Yes, it really is stark. Julie, though, before we move on from our caller Mark's point about under the table rentals, do you think that, you know, now that there are these new ordinances in Burlington and other, you know, towns and cities across the state are looking to regulate the short term rental market a bit more, do you think that could increase the number of under the table rentals?
Well, of course, it's hard to predict what the future will hold without having this, and especially to understand exactly what the change will be without having had collected good baseline data. But, you know, I think it is important to know that in Burlington specifically, our members polled and told us that they won't be returning to the long-term market. It's not that they will be going underground, but there is a growing demand to Jim's point about the change since the pandemic. Our supply hasn't changed, but the demand has skyrocketed. And it's diversified in terms of what people are looking for. And part of what people are looking for now is this more transitional semi-permanent housing. We're talking about places for traveling nurses, traveling professors, new residents moving to Vermont, waiting for their house to be built, people, families who are able to work remotely and want to get away from their normal day-to-day life and spend a few months living in Vermont. I've had several renters do that over the past couple of years, which we never saw before. And so, you know, I think there's still a lot of different options for short-term rental hosts or folks who want to offer furnished accommodations and not long-term tenancy.
I want to get to a couple more calls, but we're wrapping up the hour, so I'll ask our callers to be brief. Let's begin with Diana in Burlington. Diana, go ahead.
The fact that you've had that last speaker on shows the enormous power of the lobbying for short-term rentals by the Vermont Group and also the famous Airbnb and VRBO. There's a tremendous temptation to do a whole house rental. And on our street, we have one, and it impacts the neighborhood enormously. The quality of life by partying guests, I don't call them guests, they're customers on the weekend. And when we call, they say, call our manager. And it's late at night sometimes, and that doesn't help. So I want to bring that up, the impact on neighborhoods and the temptation under whatever guise, whether it's, oh, I want to have my long-term dream house and form a corporation to do that. It's not right.
Thank you for your call, Diana. Let's go to Joe in Burlington. Joe, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I think one of the things that I want to to bring up as I listen to all these conversations and have been paying attention to this issue is separating housing as a human right from housing as a business. Mm. I don't think necessarily that's something that can be addressed, you know, by the city council, you know, in today, tomorrow, even the next day. But I think just in the back of our heads, as we have these conversations, thinking about what is the role of profit and business in housing versus people having a space to live.
Mm. Well, thank you for that comment, Joe. And I agree. And I think that, you know, I'm glad we've been having this conversation with Julie Marks from the Vermont Short-Term Housing Rental Alliance and Jim Levinsky from Lamoille Housing Partnership, who have been able to discuss, you know, people who are desperately seeking housing in the state and people who are earning some much needed income as landlords and renters. Jim, I'm going to very briefly give you the last word here. What is one way that you think that we can help solve this affordable housing crisis, specifically in Lamoille County?
Boy.
Yeah, that's an easy question, right?
It's going to be hard for that one. We have a lot of work to do. There are a lot of people invested in trying to solve the problem. I think one of the things we can do is recognize what Julie said was that things are changing moving forward. We are going to face, we've been facing pandemic migration, which has changed things a lot. And I think we're going to be facing climate migration, where we're going to see people moving to Vermont, and we need to really be prepared to accommodate new folks moving in, as well as making sure we take care of the Vermonters who are here.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, defining the issue is one of the first steps in solving the problem. So thank you for doing that in a brief 30 seconds. That was Jim Levinsky, the executive director at the Lamoille Housing Partnership. We are also joined today by Julie Marks, who's the founder and director of the Vermont Short-Term Rental Alliance. Julie, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.